So I know that for some speakers, they bring out the Bible for them. For me, they bring out a plinth so that everybody can see me, being vertically challenged as I am. It's great to be with you this morning. I feel like very much kind of coming home almost. Just great to see people that I've heard of fairly. That's fantastic. It's a great start. As James said, I kind of pioneered modern football chaplaincy at Partick Thistle in 1998. Now, whereas James is a Queen of the South supporter, and he's now serving Kilmarnock, and he can do so with such an emotional equilibrium and almost a sense of emotional detachment, wasn't quite the same for me at Partick Thistle, because my earliest childhood memory was standing in my grandparents' tenement flat in Maryhill and me asking my papa, "Papa, what team do you support?" And he told me, "Son, there's only one team in Glasgow, and it's Partick Thistle." And I believed him, and I still do. There you are. So the thing about it was, I was very much emotionally invested in Partick Thistle ever since I could remember. My earliest childhood memories were just loving this team that played in red and yellow. And so becoming the chaplain of the club that I'd always supported carries a wee bit of challenge, because you do really feel it, you know, if they don't do well. And so what would happen is that I would come home on a Saturday night, and if Thistle had not won, then my girls would claim that I would ruin the Saturday family night. And they eventually started to fine me 50p if I came in with a miserable look in my face. And they made an absolute fortune at me. So I eventually had to charge them 50p every time they left their bedroom light on to try and balance things out a wee bit, you know. But the one thing was, we had a dog at that time, wee Sooty, wee Cairn Terrier. I find dogs the most empathic creatures on the planet. He was just incredibly sympathetic, empathic, and he used to feel your pain. In fact, I'll tell you, I was telling a friend about this last week. When the football results come on, and he heard the Partick Thistle result, and he heard that phrase very commonly spoken, "Partick Thistle, nil," my little Sooty would start to howl. He'd go, "Oh!" I mean, how incredibly empathic is that? My friend said to me, he says, that's incredible. What did he do if Partick Thistle won? I said, I don't know. I've only had him 6 months. So anyway, that's football chaplaincy. It is a joy, and James is doing a fantastic job at Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock was actually the first club that I appointed a chaplain in, having been at Partick Thistle, and that was Neil Urquhart. And James has continued the tremendous work there at Scotland's oldest professional football club. There you are. So he's doing a fantastic job. And today we have around 120 chaplains in Scottish sport. 113 of those are in football, but we've just started to move into other sports, as James has said, also in rugby union, and gyms, and basketball, and shinty, and God's opening up loads of new doors, and it's just a really exciting journey, and wonderful opportunities arising from that. So thank you so much for releasing James to do this, and I trust that God blesses you as a result of releasing him. But what we've been looking at over this whole weekend is positive mental health. So I've started off with this verse. And again, this for some of you, this will be the third time you've seen this, and hopefully it's ingrained in your brain. That's a good thing. "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you just as you're progressing spiritually." So I want to bless you with that once again this morning, but remind you that when we read a verse like this, and when we hear that phrase, "enjoy good health," ordinarily, we just think of physical health, don't we? But actually, that's not what health is, not even according to the World Health Organization, who say that health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social, and as Christians, we would also put in spiritual well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. And so what we've been doing over this weekend is helping to almost change the mindset that health is physical, and recognise that health is physical, it's emotional, it's mental, it's spiritual, it's very much an all-round thing, and God is concerned about every single part. So we looked at this verse here: "May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, and put you together, especially when you're falling apart, spirit, soul and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it." And what we've been looking at is the fact that God wants us to be fit physically, mentally and emotionally, and spiritually. And there's not any one of those that really God isn't concerned about. He's concerned about his spirit, soul and body. Perhaps in that order, but not with the neglect of anything. He's concerned about you as a whole person. And one of the things we've discovered is that in actual fact, your physical health impinges on your mental and emotional health and on your spiritual health, and they're all interlinked. And so we can't neglect any, because if we do, it will be like almost like a stack of dominoes. Everything else will fall apart as well. Now then, here's a wee test. For those of you that were here Friday and Saturday, we looked at the certain neurotransmitters that the brain releases, and when it does, you feel great mentally. Okay? And then we looked at how we can actually facilitate the increase in release of these neurotransmitters. So for those of you that were here Friday or Saturday, you know that way when you feel energized or you're about to receive a reward or achieve a goal, what is that? Shout out! Dopamine! Well done, that's right. Your motivation molecule. So God has created us in such a wonderful way that he's put this neurotransmitter or this brain chemical, dopamine, in your brain. And when it's in your brain, this is what motivates you to do things. So if somebody's suffering from a clinical depression and they will have a diminishment of dopamine, they will really struggle to be active. They'll feel very lethargic. They'll lack energy. They'll lack motivation. They'll lack enthusiasm. They'll really struggle simply to do things. That's part and parcel of what happens in a clinical depression. But if somebody has good levels of depression, they will feel energized, they will feel motivated, they will feel able, and they'll really have a lot of get up and go about them. So it's a really important neurotransmitter. You know that way when you feel content and valued and purposeful, where you feel good about yourself and good about the world? What was that neurotransmitter? Superb serotonin. Exactly. I call it the happy hormone. And it's a really vital brain chemical for you simply to feel good about life. It fights anxiety and depression. It helps with your sleep. And it's a very, very important brain chemical. If anybody has to take antidepressants, then that will have a synthetic form of serotonin in it. And then we looked at this one. You know, when you feel secure, socially bonded and loved, the social bonding hormone, what was that? Oxytocin, yeah, I call it the cuddle chemical. And this is a really vital chemical that scientists have done a lot of research on recently. And especially, and actually they've done research in terms of the bonding of a mother and baby. And they've researched oxytocin levels in terms of pregnancy, in terms of childbirth, lactation. Oxytocin helps to produce milk to feed the baby and forms that incredible bond between mother and child. And you know how, for example, if a mother has had a difficult birth and they have baby blues or postnatal depression, they've discovered now that administering a synthetic form of oxytocin actually helps that bonding with the baby in a wonderful way now. So they're discovering lots of things about this tremendous neurotransmitter and using it in other areas as well. And then we looked at the final one. You know when you feel euphoric or any natural extreme, what was that? Endorphins. You listened well. The euphoric effects. Endorphin, remember, the word comes from two words, endogenous, which means of the body, and morphine, which is a painkiller. And God, in his infinite wisdom, has established pain receptors in your brain, which when activated, release endorphins that will flood through your body and give you a euphoric effect. So we looked at how we can effectively cause these things to flow. So, again, for those that have already been here Friday and Saturday, I'm going to rattle through the first seven just to remind you of what they were. And for those that weren't here, just to give you a little taste, but we would encourage you to listen to the stuff online and you'll get the full expression of what was said. So we looked at exercise. The fact that exercise now is very widely recognised as vital, essential to good mental health. If you go to a doctor now and are diagnosed with mild to moderate depression, they're more likely to give you a gym pass than medication. So we looked at especially cardio exercise. It's so important to really get that heart going. And if you do so, that will create serotonin levels in the brain. So top tip, we said, make sure you set aside part of your day for some good exercise, as much as you can possibly do. Probably the most important thing for your mental health, actually. So you can look at that yourself. Then we looked at food, the amazing link between food and mood. Somebody once said, you are what you eat, and there's a truth to that in some respects. Now, without going into any details on what we looked at, everybody's got an individual physiology, but what we finally said was, well, you know, you need to be self-aware. What you eat, are you aware of the effect that has on your energy levels and on your mood levels? You might need to adjust things accordingly. So we looked at that, so that'll hopefully whet your appetite, excuse the pun, to look at that. Then we looked at sleep, how important sleep is, and sleep hygiene, more to the point. How it's really vital to get a decent night's sleep as much as you're able to give yourself that to increase serotonin levels for fighting anxiety and depression. If you struggle sleeping at night, then we looked at how you can make up for that during the day. In bouts, remember, of 10 minutes, 20 minutes or 90 minutes. Again, listen to the stuff online and you'll discover what NASA have discovered in terms of sleep hygiene and the effect on the brain. Then we looked at the importance of rest. Having a period during every day where you just chill out, you spend time yourself alone, preferably with Jesus, just meditating in his presence and his goodness and reading his word, and also the importance of having a day off. And I did mention, and I'll say it again, make sure your minister has a day off. Keep him accountable on it. I know that he has a funeral this week and his normal day off on Friday, so make sure you find out he's replaced that with something else. Really vital your minister has a good day off. Okay, then we looked at being creative, doing new things. They've now discovered the brain can create new neural pathways no matter what age you are. And so we encourage people to look at developing new skills, learning new things, starting new hobbies, but continually getting and keeping that brain working, really good for mental health. It's a sad statistic that 1 in 5 older people now suffer depression. And so, interestingly, I watched a programme, and it was people that had lived to the age of 100, and they were wanting to find out the secret of living to that age. Now, personally, I'm not too fussed to live to that age. But then you're expecting that folks would have really good lifestyles, and that was how they got there. But there was one fella called Buster, and honestly, he did everything that should have killed him 40 years previous. He smoked like a chimney, he drank like a fish, he swore like a sailor, he done everything you think he shouldn't be alive. But actually what he did was he got up every morning to go down to his nephew's garage to work for him. He just kept himself motivated and kept himself going. Can I say something to you seniors in the church? You are an absolutely vital part of this church. You have so much to offer. You have so much wisdom, so much experience, probably so much time in your hands that you can serve, you can be the greatest servants of this church. And don't allow the fact that we've gone all technological and developed in other ways to feel that you've been set aside and you're no longer of value to the church. You're of more value or as much value as anybody. So the church needs you. Amen, James? We need you. You've got so much to offer. Don't sit back and say, I can leave it to the young ones now. You've got so much to offer. And you can still learn new things. That's just a wee aside. Then we looked at laughter. I have to say that this morning there was a few endorphins released when that wee lad, in response to James' question, what do you think I do as Kilmarnock chaplain? You eat the pies. I thought that was different class. Yep, always good to have something like that in church. Superb. Then we looked at music and the research that's been done in terms of dopamine levels being increased by listening to certain types of music. Some brilliant research on that. And God's already spoken of all these things in his word. So the big thing is, the most important thing to understand, that with all this scientific research, with all the GPs and psychotherapists and psychiatrists and psychologists that I've read up on, all they're coming up with is stuff that God's already said in his word. You know, it's just amazing. Well, it makes sense, isn't it? If you live according to the Maker's instructions, you're going to live well. And God's already had so much to say in his word about physical, mental and emotional and spiritual health that if you know the word and you do what it says, then the chances are you'll have a better chance of good mental health. Now we go into some fresh stuff. And so the first thing we're going to look at this morning is giving And again, this is secular research backed up by God's word. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loves a cheerful giver. Actually, this word in Greek, the word cheerful, literally means hilarious. It means hilarious. It gives this picture of, you know, the minister announcing they're never going to have the offering and folk going, yippee! You know, just doesn't sound a Scottish thing, does it? You know? But it's true, God loves a cheerful giver. It says in Acts 20:35, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Well, actually, scientists are now saying that there is scientific evidence behind this, because what they're saying is that when you give, your giving increases your depth of connection with others and raises oxytocin levels. Now, if you think about it, think of the word miser and think of the word miserable from the same root. Misers are always miserable, aren't they? You've never seen a happy miser. People that hoard their money and are stingy, they're always absolutely miserable people. The happiest people on earth are the philanthropists, the people that are the givers. And so there's something about that. I was in one particular church down south. It was a black church, very lively. And what they did during the offering, you should try this, James, right? So they had this basket down the front, and they just had the offering during the giving, and folk would dance down the front of the church with their offering, you know, swinging it around and woo, and putting it in the offering. You know, I think that would not go down in Scotland. It would be like a funeral procession, wouldn't it? It'd be like, you know, here we go. But listen, there's something about that. God wants you to actually enjoy and rejoice in your giving. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. He wants you to give from your heart, not because you feel you ought to, but because you realize what you're doing. You're not paying a debt. You're sowing a seed into the kingdom of God. And it's a wonderful thing. Giving of yourself to projects that benefits others increases dopamine levels, scientists have now discovered. So any of you that are involved in food banks or involved in anything of a charitable nature, or mission trips, doing things like that, it's amazing how actually you end up feeling really buzzed up about it, don't you? You feel good having been a blessing to somebody else. When you're a giver rather than a taker, you actually are one of the greatest recipients of blessing out of that. And also, doing things that you enjoy that benefit others reduces stress and boosts your immune system, they have discovered. So be a giver, not a taker. And I always say this when I come into churches because, you know, I feel that church nowadays is very much a consumerist culture. It's like, we'll choose a church because of what it's got there for me. You know, you'll have people come to church and, well, what's your children's program like? And how long does the service last? And how long does the minister speak for? And it's very much a case of, well, I'm coming for what I can get out of it. And that is a sure certain way to be miserable in church. But when you come to church with, what can I give to it? So rather than coming to church and saying, well, I wonder who will speak to me this morning. Coming to church and saying, I'm going to look out for someone I've not seen before, and I'm going to ask them how their week's been. I'm going to say, welcome to West Kilbride Parish Church. I'm going to make them feel welcome. When life no longer becomes about you and what people can do for you, but what you can do for other people, actually, it's one of the best things you can do for your mental health. So when you come to church, I want to encourage you not to come for what you can get out of it, but to come for what you can give into it. In your worship, in your speaking to others, and you're listening to the word. Give of yourself to those that are serving you, but come to serve. I often say to people, the work of the minister is not you. In other words, the minister's work is not the work of the church. It says in Ephesians 4:11, it says that God has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers to equip the body to do the work. So James's job is not to do the work, but equip you to do the work. And when you come with that giving heart to do that, his job will be so much happier, and this will be an even greater church. So, top tip, giving is good for you, but be careful not to live on empty yourself. And that's really important. Which brings me on to my next thing. The importance of relationships with regards to your mental health. So important, this area. Paul speaks of this chap here in Philippians 2:25. He's called Epaphroditus. And he says of him, he says, he is my brother, my co-worker, and my fellow soldier. What a lovely picture he's presenting about a healthy relationship. And this is how I read this. He speaks of somebody who's my brother, somebody that you can look in the eye and just be honest with. Somebody that you can be accountable to. Somebody that really knows you. Think on that picture for a minute. Then he speaks of a co-worker. And I get the picture of somebody walking side by side. Somebody with the same vision, the same purpose. You know, somebody that he's not having to drag behind him or you know, try and keep up with. But somebody that's really sharing his heart, his vision, his purpose, walking forward together in life. Can two walk together unless they're agreed, it says in Amos. I get that. But then he also speaks of his fellow soldier. Now, of course, he's referring in those days to the analogy of the Roman soldiers. And it's interesting when you look at how they protected each other. You know how somebody will say to you, oh, I'm watching your back. That's not very helpful. If somebody's just watching your back, they can just basically tell you when you've been stabbed. That's not really that helpful, is it? But in Roman soldiers' times, what they would do is, in groups of four, they would have their shields and they would stand back to back so that they could protect each other from any oncoming arrows or anything. So what they would say more accurately was, I've got your back. Somebody who's really looking out for you, protecting you. And I believe that Paul's got somebody who we can look at face to face, someone he can walk with side to side, and someone he can stand with back to back, someone that's an all-round, really good influence on him. And I think everybody needs somebody like that in their life, at least one. And the influence of that in your mental health is really vital. It says in Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise. So he that hangs about with numpties becomes a numpty. You know, listen, it's the same, isn't it? So who you have relationship with will have a massive effect on your well-being mentally. So let's look at the research. So research has shown that physical expressions of love increase oxytocin levels. For example, hugging. Seen some wonderful research on this. A 20-second hug, one research said, will significantly increase the oxytocin hormone. Fantastic. Listening well to others increases oxytocin levels. Now, actually, I get this now. If you're listening to somebody and listening empathically and entering into their world, you're really connecting with them at a deep level. And that's actually good for your mental health, as long as you don't allow their drama to become your crisis and you take that away with you. But being a good listener is good for your mental well-being. Secure, trusting, accountable relationships increase serotonin. In other words, when somebody shows you that they value you, that they love you, that they speak positively to you and about you, that is one of the best things for your mental health. We all know there are people who are drains and people who are radiators. You know, people who, when you're with, they just suck the life out of you. You just, don't you? You feel, oh my goodness, you know. And then you feel with other people, they energize you. You have people that are mood hoovers, and you have people that are mood lifters. And sometimes you can't choose these people in life. Sometimes you're married to them. And that can be awkward, right? But I can say, in case this is recorded, it is recorded, my wife is very much a mood lifter. So there we go. I think the hand was just about there at that stage when she heard that. So yeah. But it's true, so some relationships you can't choose, but the relationships in your life of choice, choose wisely. Choose people that are life-giving. Choose people that you can be yourself with. You can rant if you need to. You can offload to. You can be yourself with. So important. I feel in church so often, we do put on a mask, a Sunday mask. We arrive at church and, how's your evening? Fine. How are you? Fine. But really, we're just not doing so great. And we need a little bit more openness and honesty and accountability. And it's a vital part of recovery from mental illness. It's recognised now that the number one, hear this, the number one factor in recovery from mental illness is regarded as talking therapy. Way above medication, way above other things that we've mentioned already, but talking therapy is considered the number one most effective form of help for recovering from mental illness. Because there's always a root, there's always something underlying. So make sure you've got somebody in your life that you can simply talk to and be yourself with. Consider, are my chosen relationships positive, productive partnerships? That kind of sums up everything that I've said there. Relationships, let's go on, we've got two more. Thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That doesn't mean that all circumstances are the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Stuff happens in life, even to Christians, that is not pleasant, it's not God's ideal, but we live in a fallen world where bad stuff happens. But it says, be thankful in all circumstances, not for all circumstances, but in. Because God brings all good, or good out of all things. Don't worry about anything, the scripture says. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and thank Him for all He's done. Then, you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I have people say to me all the time, I just want peace. I just wish I could be at peace. Well, actually, we have in Scripture how to get the peace that goes beyond your understanding, that goes beyond circumstances. How you get that peace is having an attitude of gratitude, being thankful, proactively. So, here's what the science, or the scientists are saying. I read one psychotherapist, and he said this, if you think of, well, he didn't mention God, but he said, if you think of three things to be thankful for every day for 30 days, you will significantly raise dopamine levels in the brain. So this is science research. Now, the way I look at it is, it's a normal part of my Christian walk. So if you think of three things to be thankful to God for every day for 30 days, you're forming a habit, which means it becomes automatic, but also you're keeping the winning streak going. You're keeping your dopamine levels really high. I'm a very competitive person. I usually go for 10 things, you know. But you know, see, if you really set your mind to it, it's amazing how, on a daily basis, if you continually get yourself into that attitude of gratitude and focus especially in your prayer life on the things that you want to be thankful to God for, it's amazing how your faith rises, how your connection with God deepens, and you realize just what an amazing God He actually is. And even if you're not good at thinking of things circumstantially, we can start off by thanking Him that He loves us, thanking Him that He sent Jesus to die on the cross, thanking Him that Jesus rose again from the dead, thanking Him that Jesus is alive today. I mean, forget what you see around you. Just in who God is and what Jesus has done for you, you can think of 10 things off the bat every day, no problem. Really good for your mental health. So thanking God for specific things He has blessed you with increases dopamine. Scientific fact. Thanking God for what you mean to Him increases serotonin. Hold on to that thought, because the last one we're going to look at, I believe, is possibly the most significant. Thanking God for what you mean to Him increases serotonin. Thank you, Lord, that I am the apple of your eye. That's what the Bible says. Thank you, Lord, that I am your treasured possession. Do I feel like that sometimes? Do I think I deserve to be that? Do I think I live like that? No. Does it affect the reality of how God sees me? No. God accepts me in Christ Jesus. All my righteousness is like filthy rags, but when God looks on me, He sees me through the righteousness of Jesus. The basis of my acceptance to God is not the sweat of my good works, but it's the blood of His Son and the grace that He shows me in Christ. Really important. Top tip, have a happy memory box and keep referring to it. That's biblical meditation. You know, just remembering the good things that God has done for you, the things that are a blessing in your life. Do that on a regular basis and always return to these things, and that will really be good for your mental health. And it brings me to the last one. Probably the most important thing I'll tell you this morning is this. I love this scripture, 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished upon us as children of God, because that is what we are. Focus on that truth. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Fear often leads to anxiety, which can lead to anxiety disorders and depression and so forth. Anybody struggling with a mental illness will usually have a high degree of fear within that. It's part of the symptoms. Whether it's depression, where it's a fear of what the future's going to look like, or anxiety, fearing everything round about you, or psychosis, where it even becomes paranoia, fear plays a massive part in poor mental health. God's word says that his perfect love drives out all fear. Wow. Remember, I've been talking to you about serotonin. And I've said that when you feel valued, significant and purposeful, serotonin levels increase. Let's just for a moment, as we close this morning, consider how valued we are in God's economy. What am I worth to God? I love sharing this in a football context, because nowadays, in football, your value is entirely determined by your performance and results. And your value goes up and down. Your stock rises and falls. It's the way it is in football. One year you can be sold for, you know, £1 million. The next year you can be given a free transfer. Your value oscillates like that. That's the world. That's how it operates. So your value in the world system is entirely down to your performance and your results. What's God's economy like? The complete antithesis. How does God value me? What value does he place on me? He places on me the value of the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. That's what I'm worth to him. If I was the only person to have ever lived, God would still have sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to take the punishment for my sin so that I could be forgiven and accepted by God into his eternal family. That is the value God places on me. Not silver and gold, which will fade away, but the blood of his son. That's what I'm worth. Now, what about the value system? Does it go up and down? You know, is it like stocks and shares? No, because God's value in me is regulated by his grace. It's undeserved favour, unmerited kindness. It's a constant. Once God's accepted me in Christ Jesus, he cannot love me less. He couldn't love me more. It's a constant. So my value is a complete eternal constant before God. He loves me. That's how valuable I am to him. Now, when I really live in the truth of that, my serotonin levels are going to rise. What about significance? You know, we meet so many guys in football and, you know, their identity is all wrapped up in wearing that shirt. Take it off them, they don't know who they are. They lose their sense of significance. I remember talking to one guy and he was saying, he was a bit of a pantomime villain when he played, and he would be often castigated and abused from the sidelines. He said, I would rather hear the abuse from the terraces as now when I walk down the street no one recognises me. No significance is gone. What's my significance? My significance is that Jesus is my big brother. And I'm a co-worker with Jesus, the creator of the universe. And I've got a plan and a purpose through my knowledge and relationship with him that's just incredible and eternal in its significance. Purposeful. Wow. I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. I've been invited to join God in what he's doing. In the world of sport is where I am, but where you are, God invites you to join him in what he's doing. You've got such a significant eternal purpose. And when you realise what that is and you join God, it's incredible how serotonin levels will rise in your brain. So think of what you're worth to God and the value he has placed on you. Thinking of what you have to look forward to, believe that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, for those who are called according to his purpose. I have found that this verse, Romans 8:28, is probably the foundation of my life. Because I do firmly believe that my life is not in the hands of people. My destiny is not controlled by any man. Ultimately, my Father sits on the throne and is in ultimate control of everything concerning my life. And even although life will throw me some wobblies, even although men will sometimes cut me down or try and cut me down, all that does is lead to future growth. I don't believe that God's people are ever sacked. They're only ever promoted to something greater. I really do believe that. I do believe with all my heart that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Whenever you have disappointments, whenever you have letdowns, let me tell you something. That God's, or that disappointment can become God's appointment when you recognize His sovereignty and His grace and His love for you in the midst of that. Isn't it great that in this world of so much uncertainty, Brexit, in this world of so much uncertainty, God's in the throne. Do you know, whatever happens with all that stuff, God's in the throne. And He wants what's best for me. He knows what's best for me, and He'll do what's best for me. And I'll operate at that level of believing that, and believe you me, my serotonin levels are going through the roof, regardless of what's happening round about. If God is for you, who can be against you? So be encouraged with that, and be blessed with positive mental health. God bless you.